Some of you may have thought this day would never come. Rashini Rajkumar here. As you know, Sunday liquor sales will become the law in Minnesota, thanks to, or pretty close. We still have to get Governor Dayton's signature. But this past week, the Minnesota Senate followed the House, and by a 38-28 vote, have now added Minnesota to the list of states, which is most of them, that allow liquor sales on Sunday. I wanted to get into this because that doesn't necessarily mean the end of the story. So what comes next? How does this affect other liquor laws on the books? How does this affect the Minnesota economy? To get into that, one of the leading activists, Andrew Schmidt, from Minnesota Beer Activists. He's also host of Minnesota Beercast radio show, along with Jeff O'Brien. He's a business and liquor attorney at Lohman Abdo. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Andrew, let me start with you. I asked Jeff before we went on air, are you excited? And he said, I think Andrew's just really exhausted right now.
Jeff nailed it. You know, it's been, I think, a long time coming for Minnesota consumers to kind of bring us up to speed, at least somewhat in terms of liquor laws here in Minnesota. So it's been a lot of work and a long time coming. So not only are we excited, but yeah, we are a little exhausted.
Yeah, and tell us, you know, why were you fighting so hard for this, Andrew?
You know, for me personally, I'm a Minnesotan, born and raised. I have no plans on going anywhere. But I'm a big fan of beer, especially local beer and spirits and wine as well in Minnesota. And, you know, it's almost an embarrassment, you know, that Minnesota is so far behind the times in terms of the legislation that allows consumers to take part in fully legal products. So, you know, there's a bit of an antiquated view. So for myself personally, it was really to stop the embarrassment and support these local retailers and local producers of a great quality.
Indeed, Minnesota was one of 12 states that outlawed or banned Sunday liquor sales. Jeff O'Brien, you deal with a lot of different liquor situations for beer, for alcohol, for distillers, for brewers. What does this mean for all of them, plus just the stores that are out there?
Well, I think the time will tell, you know, how many more reforms this leads to. I think the big thing is how the consumer's voice was finally heard at the Capitol when it comes to liquor interest. You know, the retailers have their lobbying group. The municipal liquor stores have their lobbying group. The wholesalers have their lobbying group. And they've really controlled the liquor laws in this state for decades. Working in with brewers and distillers and wineries, It's been hard to get reforms passed because of how powerful that opposition is, and I don't fault them. The system makes them a lot of money, and they do well. And why would they want to ruin something, a good thing, for themselves? So that they tend to oppose a lot of reforms on a concern of what's going to happen to, you know, our bottom line. I just like any other business, I don't fault them for that. But here we now have the consumers that are the ones that are out voting for the representatives, voting for the senators, and telling their elected officials, we want this. And I think this is what I've likened this to is, you know, in politics we talk about, you know, the Democrats' blue wall or the Republicans' red wall in a presidential election. They have to win these states. If you get through there, that happened this last time. This law was really the liquor interests' blue wall, and now that this has been repealed, you know, we can talk about, you know, should your local distillery be allowed to have its cocktail room open on Sundays? Should if you do brewing and distilling, should you be able to serve both of those products in your tap room or at your facility? You know, what the distribution laws, and do we need to review those? A lot of states are reviewing these prohibition era laws top to bottom. And things are changing, and part of it is because of, you know, the whole craft beverage movement. So I really think at the end of the day, time will tell it, but I'm positive. If you couldn't get this one down, that was going to be difficult to get a lot of other, you know, what I call dumb laws down.
Well, and, you know, the author of this one, Senator Jeremy Miller from Winona, Republican, he basically said, you know, we did the what the constituents were saying really swayed us. I want to share this text that came in, and it came in while we were talking politics earlier in the show. But it really, really, and I didn't get to it then because I think it came in after we said goodbye to our guest. But it really applies to this situation, to any situation when there are two sides. This listener so eloquently writes, "We will be best served by engaging our curiosity, listening to each other, and searching for facts as they come out. In the study of persuasion and influence, the position of the most trusted, credible source of information is the king of the hill position. There is a battle of talking points, engaging our cognitive biases, combined with the diversions, and an all-out war to discredit challengers and other perspectives."
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, do you feel like that was probably going on for a couple years for you in
absolutely.
This battle?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's almost the law of motion, right? You've got to get some momentum behind things for other things to change. It's very easy for the status quo to stay the status quo because, well, it's working now and that's the way it's always been. You know, for us, a big part of the movement to legalize Sunday liquor sales was really capturing new legislators as they came in and getting people to vote for new legislators, people who were willing to listen to the people who weren't so entrenched in the quote-unquote status quo.
I guess what always confused me, and I'll ask this of both of you, but maybe Jeffrey, because you're the lawyer, you can start. I was always confused by the small owners, the mom-and-pop shops, as they were described at. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I don't know that that's even the best description, that they felt like that would take them out of business. I mean, really, this law doesn't change their ability to stay closed on Sunday if they want to.
Yep.
And because we've been in a state that for so long you haven't been able to buy liquor or beer or whatnot on a Sunday, I think most people have kind of conducted their lives accordingly. So I just don't see huge, like, swaths and storms of people going shopping for liquor on Sundays now.
I think, you know, I think what's happened is you know, the way our culture has changed over the decades, where Sunday is now a shopping day. You have a lot of situations where, you know, you might have married couples, both spouses working. Saturday maybe, you know, if you got kids, Saturday may be kid stuff. Sunday may be the day you go run your errands. And it's a huge inconvenience to consumers to not be able to pick up a bottle of wine or a six pack when you're out running your errands on Sundays.
I think you're right, Jeff. And you know, part of the narrative of the opposition of the status quo has always been, you know, we've got the interests of the mom and pops in mind as we lobby up at the Hill. But you know, there's plenty of mom and pop liquor stores that would love to have the opportunity to be open. And now, come July, they'll be able to capitalize on that.
It is a free market system, right? We are going to take a real quick break. We have some texts coming in. The phone lines are open, folks. 651-989-9226, 866-989-9226. If you have a question or comment for Jeff or for Andrew, we also have some interesting texts. I can't wait to read you one of them when we return.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to News and Views with Roshini Rajkumar. Thank you so much for spending part of your Sunday with me. We are in the middle of our Sunday liquor panel with attorney Jeff O'Brien in studio. Andrew Schmidt joining us on the phone. He is the head of Minnesota Beer Activists and host of Minnesota Beercast radio show. Jeff is a business and liquor attorney and has been a regular contributor on this show when it comes to all sorts of legal areas. We have quite a spew of texts coming in, gentlemen. Our text line 81807 if you have any questions or comments for these men. You can also call us 866-989-9226 or 651-989-9226. All right, so let me share some of the text. Some people throwing a little bit of vitriol at us. One person says, "Huge inconvenience? ? Get a life." Well, I don't know that it's. I don't care. You know, frankly, I don't care. What I look at it is, this is supposed to be capitalist United
exactly.
States, right?
Exactly.
So if, for example, you wanted to go to a liquor store on a Sunday, and I'm not saying, you know, I'm at work on Sunday. I'm not boozing it up in the middle of the day on Sunday or shopping for liquor. But the bottom line is, Who cares? Let stores decide what they want
and that's
to do.
The, that's the big issue, Rashini, is why should the government tell a legal business to stay closed on a particular day of the week?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's part of the point. Andrew, I want to direct this text at you. This was the one that I got sort of a little chuckle as we went to break. This listener says, Sunday beer now, next, cannabis fireworks.
Maybe, you know, I would fully support that if enough people get behind it and ask their legislators. You know, that's the biggest thing for me on Sunday liquor sales, is that it's not life and death. It's not taxes and education, but it is freedom, and it is what the people have wanted. And I think it's the duty and the responsibility of the legislators to listen to what the people want and not the special interest.
Andrew, one person is calling this millennial madness.
Maybe. I think, you know, we definitely capitalized on social media and technology to reach our activist base. And I would certainly agree that that's certainly more of an easier way to communicate with millennials than it is an older generation.
One person says it's sad that so many cannot do without their booze for even a day. Jeffrey, I want to put a couple of the legal ones at you. These are really good questions. This listener says, do your guests think this will open the door for auto sales on Sunday as well?
I've been asked that question. I honestly don't think so. And I've had this discussion with folks who are in the auto industry. And, you know, coming from this, the point of view that this was pushed by consumers who wanted the right to buy alcohol on Sundays from a liquor store. Most consumers are like me. I like to go on when I'm shopping for a car. I sometimes go out on Sundays to go look at the car without having to deal with the salesperson. Then I come back the second time when I know what
like
I want, and then
the
negotiate with the salesperson.
Something.
Yeah. Okay. So I think having the auto lots closed on Sundays actually is pro consumer. If that sounds, yeah, sounds a little weird, but that's kind of my view of the thing.
It's an interesting question, you know, and I know that the most of the dealerships are opposed to it. You know, the difference for me is I don't hear the outcry from consumers to change Sunday car sales.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a huge ticket purchase. When I want to buy my next car, I think I can make it work on one of those other 6 days, right?
Yeah, I would akin Sunday liquor sales to a commodity and one or to a consumable, and cars really more to a commodity. You know, nobody runs out of a car.
And a large ticket item. I mean, that you're not buying every day, every month, every year, even.
Not an impulse purchase.
Yeah, and not an impulse purchase, although, you know, If I had the money, I might buy that Porsche. Okay, here's another question along those lines. With the change for the days open for the liquor stores, will that also include the ability to be open on holidays?
I don't believe so.
No.
Because then you have to deal with the feds on this, right? Federal holidays are federal holidays.
Right, right. Yeah.
Andrew, any other thoughts on that?
No, you know, I think that there's still, at the state level, Christmas and Thanksgiving, I want to say, are still on the books as being verboten, but I think the rest of them are fair game.
Yeah, and these are federal holidays. I mean, we have a lot of federal holidays. There's so much, I mean, there would be so much lobbying that would have to take place, I think, to make those kinds of changes. And
right.
It seems as a nation, regardless of religious faith or no faith, we have an ethos to just, who cares that liquor stores are closed on the holidays?
Right.
Right. I mean, I just think that that's kind of, it just kind of is what it is. Right. Gentlemen, let's get into what this means for any of the other laws. I mean, you were talking about some of the tap rooms and things like that, Jeff.
Yeah. I represent, you know, a number of distilleries and breweries and a few wineries that do hard cider. So I know that some of the things that have been talked about, you know, one example for micro distilleries, they have cocktail rooms where you can go there and have a cocktail. They are not allowed right now to be open on Sundays. The breweries' tap rooms are, the distilleries' cocktail rooms are not. I know that that's one thing that the distilleries would like to have. There's some manufacturers out there that do both beer and spirits. They would like to be able to serve both on site. Right now, the law says they can only serve one or the other. They have to make a choice. I know that there's a bill being drafted right now to address that. The biggest one is going to be the small breweries would like a change to our distribution law, where right now it's a franchise system. When it comes to termination, you have to have cause and you have to give notice, and they have a chance to cure. It's very hard to get out of a deal with your wholesaler, and as a result, it ends up being a lifetime arrangement, and that really does, in my opinion, stifle the flow, you know, some of the growth of some of these breweries. And why you can't find liquor, you know, a favorite brewery in your local liquor store is because they're self-distributing or doing something else to go around having to deal with the distributor. And I think that could be a decade away of passing. There's 12 states that have already passed that. There are more that have proposals. But I think that very soon, I think we're going to begin the discussion here in Minnesota about the merits of such a change.
Andrew Schmidt. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Jeff brings up a good point, you know, and I kind of worry, you know, that it's going to be even more difficult now that Sunday sales has passed for some of these other reforms to be pushed through. You know, the Sunday growler sales for breweries was a big deal, but that was essentially pushed out there as a way to take steam off of the Sunday liquor sales issue, you know, to divide the craft brewers against consumers, to try to keep the quote unquote status quo again. So, you know, I think some of these reforms are definitely needed in Minnesota, and I worry that Sunday liquor sales, having passed, that these are going to be even harder to pass now.
Very interesting insight there, Andrew. Thanks. Mark is calling in from West St. Paul. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks for calling. What's your comment or question?
Well, now that the liquor stores are open on Sunday, what's the purpose of having a 3-2 beer in the state?
It's a good question, Mark. I think that, you know, it's we may have just signed the death warrant on 3-2 beer. I don't know. This is a big concern for a lot of the retailers in terms of one of their biggest arguments was that this was going to be the slippery slope to allowing liquor to be sold in grocery stores, and that was one of the predictions that this is going to obviate the need for 3-2 beer, and now the grocery stores are going to want this. I don't see that. I mean, you see some, you know, even if the grocery stores that have the liquor stores that are separate from the grocery store, you know, from the in a separate area, are allowed to be open on Sundays, I still say that your independent local liquor store is still going to be the best.
When you had a great example we talked about during the break about this local independently owned.
So my wife and I were out shopping yesterday. We ended up at a local chain independent liquor store. It's a, you know, family owned liquor store. It's been around a while. And I went there looking for, and I'm one, I joke about it, that I don't drink any non-client liquor. I always look for my brewery clients, my distillery clients, my winery clients when I'm
That's
shopping.
That's a good attorney, Jeff.
I try to, you know, put money going back the other way. Anyway, so this particular liquor store had a larger selection of one of my distillery clients than I've seen at other stores. Including some of the big boxes in grocery stores. It had beers from clients that I have not seen anywhere near me for some time. And the cashier had tips for using some of my clients' stuff in different cocktails. So I'm going to be going back there because
the so-called mom and pop.
Right. And I've said this over and over and over again. Mom and pops, they're going to have to adapt. Based on this change, it might be a little bit different, given that they're going to be might be an increased competition with some of the big box liquor stores, but they still are going to always be the best source, the best resource when you're looking for local products, and you know they're going to have better suggestions for you know what to have, you know, what type of product you can use for what. And that, to me, is going to be their new unique selling proposition. And I'm going to keep going to them because I know that I have a better chance of getting what I want there.
Andrew Schmidt from Minnesota Beer Activists, we're winding down our time with you two, but I want you to have the last word. What are you guys working on next? I mean, this was probably exhausting for the last few years.
Yeah, you know, I know Jeff is constantly working on ways to represent his clients. Me personally, I'm going to take the spring off. And kind of reevaluate what I'm doing. You know, there may be more things worth fighting. You know, it may not be worth my time. We'll have to see what the future holds.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Andrew Schmidt from Minnesota Beer Activist, Jeff O'Brien, business and liquor attorney. Great to have you on together. Congratulations to both of you. I know you've put a lot of hours into this. We are going to take a break. And then when we come back, why facing pain head on is going to make you a successful leader or just successful in life. We'll get into that with Angela Sabali and her new book when we return.